Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
I've been thinking, as I do, a lot about what God's doing in the church, where we're going, what's happening. And you know, there are seasons in church life, and something I've learned over many, many years, and I'm sure you have too, is that you need to be prepared for the season that you're entering. Yeah? You need to be prepared. Now, God, I love it, and I know you do too. I'm sure you do, when God takes us by surprise. Anybody like surprises? Yeah, some people really don't like surprises. They want to know everything. They're the control freaks amongst us. They want to know everything before it happens because they don't want anything that's at all unpredictable. Any people like that in the room? You don't want to put your arse. Okay, we got one there. One there. So we'll lay hands on you and we'll believe God for freedom. But God loves to surprise us. And even though we're people of faith and we set our rudder, and we set our faith, and we set our direction. But I love it when God surprises us. But I also want to be prepared. I don't just want to live life just relying on surprises from God. Holy Spirit, will you fill this place today? Lord, as we gather together around the throne, Lord, there is a shout of victory in the house. For the shout of the King is in the camp. And we thank you, Lord God, that you do always lead us in triumphal procession and you order every footstep. And Father, we thank you that as we are heading strongly together as a church, from glory to glory and from strength to strength and from faith to faith, thank you, Lord, you do always do far abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. So, Lord, we open our hearts to hear your voice this morning. We humble our lives to be transformed as our minds are renewed. We thank you, Lord, your word will become flesh in us and we'll be those who do your word and not just hear it only. We thank you, Lord, that faith works with grace. Lord, because you love us. So, Father, because of your great love, your great plans, your empowering spirit, we step out in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. For the power of his word. You know, to be prepared is something that is really important in our lives. To be prepared. You know, Stephen's doing his exams, as I'm sure a lot of people are at the moment, just about to step in. And, you know, it is important to prepare because your outcome is dependent on your preparation. But I even love it when we're underprepared and God still moves. Because how many of you know he will always get the glory? He will always be glorified. That's not an excuse to be underprepared, but it does mean to say that our trust is in him and our faith is in him. To be prepared for what God is bringing down the road is really important. That's what hope is really all about. And we are a people of hope. We're a people of hope. That's none of us at the moment. We're a people of hope. Yeah, okay. Just checking. I'm in the right place this morning. Online, the people of hope. A people of hope in a hopeless generation. A people of joy in a heavy generation. A people of faith in a feeling generation. And a people of victory in a defeated generation. Come on, we're a people of hope. We're a people of faith. We're a people that God has gone before us and God is walking with us. It's important to be prepared for your future. We sung earlier that Christ is my firm foundation. We're prepared for the storms that may come. And even if they do come, our heart is so victorious, we say, bring it on, devil. Bring it on. bring it on. And you watch, at the end of all your blowing and all of your storming, I'm still going to be standing, and you're going to be defeated once again. You're going to be defeated once again. Prepared for the storms of life, not to just cope, not to just, there is a spirit of enduring, but enduring means you bear up under the weight and come out on top. Hallelujah. You get prepared to get married. Well, I hope you do. Don't just have a go, yeah? Prepare to get married. We do a great marriage course here, pre-marriage course. It's really important to be prepared for what you're going into. You prepare to have a baby. I can remember when we found out that obviously Sharon was halfway through her term when we found out. So we quickly did the baby room. We decorated it. I wallpapered it blue and yellow. I remember it. Stripes on the bottom and a mottled thing on the top with a border. I remember it. Who remembers borders in wallpapering? Who remembers borders, like 6-inch borders? Yeah, who remember? Anybody still got one? No, I'm just a thought. That was a long time ago. My study was green stripes at the bottom and green mottled on the top with a border. We like borders. But we got ready for the baby. You know, Joel said prepare to win the war. Prepare for battle, not just prepare to fight, prepare to win. You got to prepare to win in life. Prepare to win the battle. And I love some of these verses that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But we get a revelation by his Spirit. So we do know. But aren't you glad God's prepared stuff for your life? God's not working this out as he goes along. God's not making decisions like in the moment. He's already got a plan. And he already knows what you're going to do. So he's already prepared ahead of time. This is where I think God's foreknowledge is incredible. People get all skewy with it and talk about predestination and completely misunderstand that everything that happens is God's will. No, God knows what's going to happen. Therefore, he has a foreknowledge and therefore has a plan prepared. And he's prepared good things for your life, victorious things. To bring you out on top and not have you going down and going under. Amen. You know you need to prepare for promotion. Don't just see what happens. Prepare for it. Make yourself indispensable. Hello? Make yourself indispensable that when everyone's being made redundant, they can't let you go. Amen? Come on, this is just a bit of life skill going on. Right now, prepare for what's coming. You also need to be prepared for breakthrough. And I think the Bible is a book of promises. A lot of I wills in there. I will this and I will that, says God. And I am and I will. Anything that God says I will about, I want to prepare for. If God says I will heal, then I'm going to prepare to walk free. To be prepared. If God says, I will provide, then I'm going to prepare for whatever it is that I'm believing God that he's going to provide into. I'm going to prepare for it. I'm not going to wait backwards and say, well, when God moves, then I'll start to move. No, when I know his will, I prepare for that will to come to pass in my life in whatever way I can. It doesn't mean to say we're trying to make something happen, but it does mean we are prepared. Come on, everybody say, prepared. You know, if God says, I will lead you, what about this one? Prepare to leave. Prepare to leave. Don't prepare to stay, prepare to go. I loved when they had the lamb of the Passover, which actually is this season in Israel right now. They had to eat it dressed with their boots and their clothes on. they were ready to go with their staff in their hand. They weren't prepared to stay, they were prepared to leave, prepared to go. When God says, I will strengthen you, what about this one? Prepare to carry more weight. Prepare to carry more. If God says, I'm going to strengthen you, then that means it's in order for us to carry more. So if I need to be strengthened by God, which we do on a daily basis, then I'm going to prepare for whatever it is he's leading me into to carry more weight, to carry more influence. Passage of scripture I want to read from this morning is Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 6. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You see, they're saying, prepare to have a baby. Prepare to have children. You who have not had children, for more are those of those who haven't had kids than those who have had kids. God is saying it doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm going to bring you out into a place of promise. Into a place of promise. Then the Lord says this in verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Why? Because something's going to happen. Expand before you need to expand. Strengthen before you need the strength. Lengthen before you need to lengthen. Stretch before you need to stretch, because something's happening. Something is going to break through. Something. See, God knows what's on the horizon. We don't, but he says, get ready for whatever it is I'm bringing down your life journey. Enlarge, lengthen, strengthen, stretch out, because you shall expand to the right and the left. Don't wait till you expand to start to enlarge and lengthen and strengthen. See, if you do that sort of thing, that's when the boats start to sink and the nets start to break. Hello? But if we prepare ahead of time because we know what's coming down the road, even if we don't know the detail, we know the expansion's coming. You shall expand to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear. I preached on fear not the other week. Do not fear. You will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. You see, you know what keeps people back from preparing? What happens if it doesn't happen? I'm going to look stupid. I've been listening over the last few days quite a lot to Keith Moore. Anybody listening to Keith Moore? Yeah, one of my favorites. Keith Moore is just awesome. If you've not ever listened to Keith Moore, he's just one of God's generals. And he talks a lot about humility. Talks a lot about faith. Talks a lot about hope, amongst other things. And he was talking about arrogance and, you know, humility and God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Oh, I don't want to start pulling on this tissue box right now. What will people think of me? Well, it's time to die the death of the cross. I'm not talking about having a careless attitude. I don't care what people think. I'll do what I want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I'll be obedient to the Lord. I'll pray, I'll fast, I'll praise, I'll worship, I'll love, I'll give, I'll serve. And I don't care what the world thinks about me when I stand up and I say, I believe in creation. Doesn't matter what they think. Come on, it's time for the boldness of the church to rise up. It's time for the faith spirit of the church to say, you know what? To shine in a generation means that we say the truth, we believe the truth, we declare the truth, and whatever they think, they're going to fall and I'm still standing. Yes. And that means they're going to come to me and say, how do you stand? And it's, well, it's because we believe the truth. Yes. And we stand on the truth. And if you believe like I believe, you can have what I got. Yes. You shall not be ashamed. Neither will you be disgraced. Is this a word for someone this morning? For you will not be put to shame, and you will forget the shame of your youth. Even if you were ashamed, instead of your shame, God will give you double honor. God will restore that. God will turn it over. He will wipe it away. He will make it insignificant. He will take the memory away of it. He will take the thorn and the thistle away of it. He will take the pain away of it. And he will say, I'm going to honor your life. Yes. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Today, I want to speak on ready for the suddenly. Ready, can we all say that? Ready for the suddenly. Isaiah 54, I know it's one of our favorites, I'm sure. Saying it doesn't matter what it's looked like, expansion's coming. Growth is coming. And there are some keys here. Some keys to get ready for the expansion. What is it that God wants to expand in your life? Is it your business? Is it your family? Is it your finances? Is it your physical strength? Is it your influence? Well, it's yes to all of those. See, God's a God of increase. He's not a God of reduction. The only thing that needs to decrease is the influence of our flesh. And that really needs to decrease. But God is a God of increase. I will increase you more and more, Psalm 115. More and more. And I believe that as we look through some of these things today, something can start to change as we prepare for expansion. The first point today is quite simply, no more small thinking. No more small thinking. Now, the Word of God says, don't despise the day of small beginnings, but when you're in small beginnings, you're not thinking small. You're thinking big, but you're starting small. There's a big difference between thinking small and starting small. It's important to start small because we grow our strength. We grow our ability. We learn how to handle this, and when we're faithful with that, God gives us more. So we learn how to handle that, and we're faithful with that, God gives us more. And the more we get, the more we've already grown the strength. You see, if we start over here, that'll kill us. The pressure of it, the responsibility of it. No more small thinking. There's one tremendous, Isaiah 54 in a translation, one translation, I love this. It says, spread out, think big. When it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out, think big. Spread out, think big. And as I was thinking about this, I just quite simply want to say this morning, reject smallness. Reject it. Reject it. I know all of us have got something on the inside that, you know, something happens and that repulses us or that sort of, no. No, that's not my inheritance. No, that's not my portion. That's not my lot in life. That's not the promise of God for me. Something rises up and goes, no. There are other things, something rises up and goes, yes. It's important that in each of those we vocalize it, that there's a yes out of our lives to the things of God and there's a no to the things of the enemy. And we actually vocalize it. It actually comes out of our mouths. It comes out in prayer, comes out in conversations. There's a yes to the things of God, and there's a no to the things of the enemy. Well, today, I hope there's something on the inside of us that rejects smallness. Smallness. What does that mean in our lives? Well, first of all, of course, small mindedness. It's really important that we learn not just what to think, but how to think. How to think. You see, it's very easy for somebody to stand here or in small groups or whatever and say, you need to think this. And of course, I will always say that we need to think on the things of the Word of God. We need to think that. We need to think on the Word of God. But I want to learn how to think, not just what to think. If I can learn how to think, then I'll know what to think. Are you with me?
Yes.
See, when kids are really young, you teach them what to think. Absolutely, you do. But as they grow up, really instruction is you're teaching them not just what to think, but how to think for themselves, how to make right decisions. And it's really important that in this area of no more small thinking, we need to know how to think. How to think on things above and not on things down here. How to do it. How do I change how I think? How do I strengthen how I think? So no more small-mindedness. What about small expectations? Again, not just what to expect, but how to expect is vitally important. How do I lay hold of what I'm thinking in order that my hope will be something that comes to pass? How do I expect things? What about this one? Rejecting this, really important, small routines. What do we do on a daily basis that is just quite simply small? I've been told over so many years and helped, and I have a coach, and over the years, an expression comes in, no, that's small church thinking. Now, I'm not speaking to pastors today, so I'm not going to get into that, but I think it's for all of us. Small church thinking is going to keep you small. Small thinking will keep you small. Not just the thoughts you think, but how you think. Not just what you expect, but how you expect. And that will result in the things that we do on a daily basis. You show me your daily life, I can tell you what you're going to become. Are you with me today? Small routines. As a church, we mustn't be doing small routines because it'll keep us small. We need to be doing things for growth and for expansion. Can I hear an amen? What about this one? Small beliefs. Small beliefs. Small beliefs. I can hear the cogs going on today. Small beliefs. Again, not just what to believe, but how to believe. If we understand how to believe, we can grow our beliefs. This goes straight into the next one. What about small God? Yeah. I've spoken to so many Christians and I think, how big is your God? How big is your God? When the Word of God says God's arm is not too short, you may be trampled, but God will bring you out. You see, we serve a big God for whom all things are possible. But if we have a small God mentality, then it means we'll never trust Him with the big things in our lives. Come on, there's so much going on in this place today. Small God. If we're going to reject smallness and anything that wants to restrict and hold down and squash and put on the capacity limitations, if we're going to reject that this morning, we need to make room for larger. That's what this whole passage is about. To make room in your family, make room in your business. What about make room for new relationships? Let me ask a question. What is keeping me small? What is it? Is it something I believe? Is it something I'm doing? Is it a habit in my life? I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. There was an army commander or somebody commanding the US Navy, I think it was, and he stood up and he made this speech, and he talked about how you start by cleaning your room and making your bed. I'm sure a lot of us have seen it. I was years old. The small things make a huge difference, but they mustn't stay small. One routine will lead to the next routine will lead to the next routine. What is keeping me small? Reject it in Jesus' name. The second thing today from this passage, so we understand enlarge the place of your tent. What about this one? Healthy connections. Healthy, you see, if we're preparing for expansion, healthy connections are absolutely vital. Again, one translation said this, use plenty of rope. The version we've just read, lengthen your cords. Healthy connections are so very important. When I think about a tent, when I think, you know, I've been camping many, many, many times. I can remember the time that I was year seven, first year we went on this massive school camp. I did it every year since, you know, 100 or so, 150 school kids, school age teenagers, year six, year seven to 13, whatever it was. It was year one to year six back then. And we all had to go and actually put the tents up. That's part of the fun of it. It took a whole day to put up the marquee that was about 1.5 times the size of this room, perhaps even bigger. And you know what? The cords, the ropes were probably the size of my thumb. They weren't any bigger, perhaps even smaller than that. But they could hold so much weight. And the strength of the tent is determined by the health and the strength and the stability of the guy ropes. See, the guy ropes in your life are not meant to hold all the weight, but they keep what is carrying the weight stable. We've always had tents going up and down, not in the last few years, but tents going up and down in the back garden. Hey, Dad, can we sleep in the garden? Yeah, sure. Put that tent up. Go and sleep out there and get freezing cold. But hey, it's part of life, part of growing up, part of the fun. And those guy ropes are tiny. They're really, really small. They're tiny little things. And you've got to have them just right or else the tent will fall over. Or when the wind blows, you know, if they're too tight and the wind blows, you'll actually tear the canvas. Different things happen. So healthy connections are vitally important. Why? Because they bring greater stability. Stable people have healthy connections. They just do. They're not independent. They're not isolated. They're open to other people. They share what's going on in their lives. They have healthy connections. Again, there can, you know, be things that really want to keep people isolated, pride or embarrassment, those things. Well, come on, it's time to just let all of those things fall aside and get some healthy. This is why small groups in Citygate Church are so vitally important, because they are tent ropes, they are guy ropes into the lives of other people. Don't think you can do life on your own. You were never created to do life on your own. You were created to do life in relationship with other people of faith who can stand with you, and I'm tied to them and they're tied to me. Not in a restricted way, but in a stabilizing way. Healthy connections gives you greater reach. Gives you greater reach. It's really important on, you know, in any tent, there are some little guy ropes that just go down, but then there's the long ones that go out further, and they've all got their part to play. Gives you greater reach, anchor points and touch points in your life. Success is so often more about who you know than what you know. It just is. I sometimes look back over what we've achieved in God by His grace, and I think, well, I know it's not me. Number one, it's because I know God. That's why it's on the wall up there. That we know God. Healthiest connection needs to be our relationship with God. But as we go through our spheres of influence and our spheres of relationship and our spheres of our tent pegs, you know, and our connections, success in life is so often more about who you know than what you know. You know what I'm going to say on this point? Why don't we believe God for favor, open doors, and ordered footsteps for the right people to be in our lives? And that we're the right people to be in their lives. And if you get anywhere near close to me when how I expect things to go in the church, how I lead, it really comes down to relationship. Everything comes down to relationship. You know, if we're believing God to move forwards, I want there to be a relational contact. How did we buy this place? Because I got on first name terms with the director of disposals of Consignia PLC. Quite simply. And that gave us favor. This is why never, never abuse your connections. Never abuse them. Why? Because your relationships and your connections are absolutely vital. Know how to do relationship well. Now, there will be times where you're betrayed or where you're let down because men fail. You'll fail other people and people will fail you. But make sure you don't just cut the cords. Now, there are times when you're connected to something you shouldn't be connected to. There are times. And therefore, you do need to reallocate where that tie is. Absolutely, you do. Doesn't mean to say you cut it, is you use that part of your life, that part of your relationship, and you anchor it somewhere else. Have you ever, you know, I've done so many tents. I don't know why I keep thinking, well, because it's about tents, I suppose. And, you know, you go and put a tent peg out here. We'll get onto tent pegs in a minute. And the guy wrote, but you know what? That bit of ground isn't solid enough to hold the tent peg. So what do? You go around till you find, have you ever done that? Or you think, oh, there's a stone under there. And you sort of go down and you push in. Even the tiny little bent bits of wire, that's not a tent peg. That's an apology of a tent peg. We'll get into proper tent pegs in a minute. I used to make them, but that's another story. But, and you sort of prod around and you go down an inch and you hit a rock. And you think, that's not stable enough. Or you go down and it's like, no, I just push that so easily in, it'll easily rip out. Are you with me today? Yes. Come on, there has to be connections in our lives that are strong and stable and that are for the long term. I need to move on. Number three, dig deep. Dig deep. The version that we've just read, strengthen your stakes. One version says this, dig deep. Drive the tent pegs deep. You see, tent pegs are the strength of the whole structure. You can have the greatest mast, but if you're on a ship, but if you haven't got the strength to hold that mast up, it's going to blow over. The wind will take it down. On a tent, drive your tent pegs deep around just the curtains of a tent. You have these tiny little pegs. I was thinking what they are. I think they're called brailing pegs. That's what they're called. Tiny little things. They're about this long. Wooden things. And they're sort of cut with a notch like that. But they're only tiny. And they just go around the curtains of the tent at the bottom just to keep them in place. But if you walk out 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 foot, where the heavy ropes are coming to, you don't have little 6-inch tent pegs. You have things that are about this long. And they're made there. Strong tent pegs made of wood. Metal now, I'm sure. And you can't just get a little hammer and tap them in. You need a double-handed mallet that you need to swing in and wham this thing down. And it takes a number of whacks to get this thing down. And it will break through rocks that other little one won't go through. Yeah. It'll break through the rocks. It'll go, it doesn't matter how soft it is on top. These things are driving down deep into the soil. Can I say today, dig deep into God. Dig deep into God. Don't be a little surface Christian. We think about the big trees, and there's so much the Bible says about big trees, but if you know anything about trees, I know a little thing about trees, that the height of the tree is the width of the roots. You see one of those trees that goes up 50 foot? Well, the roots go out 50 foot. Why? Because they've got a lot to hold up. Can I say dig deep into God? Dig deep. Let your roots go down deep. The Bible says to be established and rooted in love. Dig deep into love. Be secure in the love of God. Oh, but Pastor Jay, I just don't know if God loves me. It's time to drive some tent pegs down deep into 1 John that I know my God loves me. I know He loves me. Let's not have a little 6-inch tent peg in the love of God. Oh, in the things of forgiveness and faith. We need to drive down deep into the things of the love of God and the nature of Christ. I think in these things of digging down deep, we need to work on ourselves so often. So many people want the fruits, but they need to work on their roots. We want the fruit, but the tree will only grow to the size of the roots. If you want to restrict a tree, you don't just keep on cutting it. That will cause it to grow more. Yeah, the more you prune, the more you grow. That's a great principle in God. You want to restrict a tree, you put it in a little pot. And the tree only grows to the size of the pot. Sharon just spent hours and hours the other day. We got a plant in the lounge. I don't know what it's called. It's about 80 years old. We know that because it was given to Sharon's grandmother and all this sort of stuff. We know all of that. And it's in a pot like this, not very big. And it's always been in the same pot. And it's these spiky things. They grow up to about this tall. Some of you would have seen it if you've been in our lounge. And so Sharon just said, it's time to repot this thing. And so she took it apart and she thought, I'm going to divide it out into four. And she was absolutely amazed when she took it out. Archie was round and Chris were round and Archie was helping and doing all that. It was a fun time of repotting a plant. I watched and admired. That's what I did. I watched and admired. But you know what? As they pulled it out, they were really quite shocked that actually in the soil, they thought the roots would fill up the pot, but it didn't. It was about 3 inches at the top of the pot, and that was it. They were all wound up just in 3 inches. And so they were able to take it apart, divide it into four, and it's now we've got four of these things in our lounge in four pots. And I know what's going to happen. We're going to get four the size of the one that the one was until we repotted it. When you dig deep, when you allow the roots to spread out, you will grow a bigger tree. But in the dig deep thing, can I just say this morning? This is a very, very strong word for, you know, today, a good word, an encouraging word. Can I say this? Don't go to people to get what you need to be getting from God. Don't go to people. Get from God what you need to get from God. And get from people what you need to get from people. You get your security from God. You get your identity from God. You get your faith from God. You get your joy from God. You get your peace from God. What do you get from people? Relationship and the opportunity to give. Get from God what you need to get from God. People want other people to be to them what that place is only reserved for that place in God. You know, when Sharon and I first got married, and this was 37 years ago, this year. I keep thinking it's 38 this year, but it's 37 this year. That's why I keep saying 37. 37 this year. 37 years, guys. That's awesome. It's awesome. I love my wife. And I can remember Sharon got really sort of, in the first, you know, 3 to 6 months, it was, in fact, no, I think it was a bit longer than that. It was sort of a couple of years. She was like, wow, this changes everything. I need to know now what I go to my God for and what I go to my husband for. Because up until now, I've only had God. And that was a whole learning curve for all of us. When you first get married, especially if you do it right and there's order in the house and there's leadership and there's submission to one another, all of these things really important. And you need to learn, well, okay, I never compromise that. I still get that from God. My spouse does not provide that for me. But there are other things that you don't just say, oh, it's just me and God. No, you're now one flesh with somebody else. So dig deep into your relationship with God and don't expect to get from other people what you're only supposed to be getting from God. I hope you're getting something out of this morning. What's number four? Stretch forwards. Everybody say here today, no more small thinking. Healthy connections. Dig deep. Stretch forwards. Stretch forwards. Stretch forwards. Stretch forwards. Stretch out the curtains of your habitation. Stretch out. Stretching makes us stronger and more fruitful. Stretching maintains flexibility. Full movement. I'm sure there are people here and you could tell me all about stretching. Stretching exercises. If you don't stretch, you snap. Is that right? Something like that. I don't know. I'll just believe you. Stretching means we revert back to a greater place. What stretches us? Well, people stretch us. This is why some people don't like being around other people because they find it uncomfortable because they got to grow. When you're just doing it by yourself, you're your own plumb line, you'll never stretch. But when you're around bigger people, they'll stretch you. They'll stretch you. Come to City Gate Church, we'll stretch you. We'll stretch you. Just the environment of this place will stretch the way you think. Stretch what you believe. Stretch what you do. Stretch what you expect. Stretch what you give. Stretch how you serve. Stretch what you stand for. These things will be stretched when you're in an environment of stretching. Faith will stretch us. You don't start by believing God to raise the dead, even though there can be a moment, but you believe God by laying hands on somebody with a headache. And you stretch and you grow. And you stretch and it's like, wow, if I think about some of the things that I'm able to believe for now, if you'd said it to me 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I would have said, yeah, faith can do it, but I would have snapped. You with me? Because you grow and you stretch. I hope you're getting something out of this today. Stretch forwards. People stretches. Faith stretches us. What else stretches us? Vision stretches us. Oh, wow, vision stretches us. You know, I looked back and I thought I had a big vision. Thought I had a big vision. But vision grows. Vision will stretch us into a place where we've never achieved before. Stretch forwards towards our expectation because we will expand. Part number five today, give it everything. Give it everything. Expansion is not casual. Expansion is on purpose and focused. And it takes something stirring up on the inside that says, I'm going to do this. I heard somebody just the other day talking about what's the difference between a routine and a discipline. A routine is what you do. You get up and you brush your teeth and you get up and you eat your breakfast and you do your exercises. And then you go, and then you leave. You've got to leave by 8 o'clock in the morning. That's a routine. But when you have a discipline, I'm going to achieve that and it's going to demand this. whether it's to run the race. I think today's marathon day, is it? A lot of people didn't just have a routine of running. They had a discipline. A discipline. Gave it everything. If you give it everything, it's coming from a desire to grow, a desire to stretch out, a desire to enlarge, a desire to grow spiritually, personally, financially, influentially. Give it everything. Give it everything you got. We're in the most amazing year. Give it everything. We're in the most amazing season. Give it everything. Do not spare is the verse that we read. Do not spare. Don't think, well, I'll give it just a little bit. If you give it just a little bit, you'll only get little bit results. But if you give it everything, the Apostle Paul said, I can do everything, but not everything is helpful. The more you give, the more glory you're filled with. And finally, as we close today, in line with the title of today's sermon, Ready for the Suddenly. One translation says this, you're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Have you ever seen that change takes time? Change takes time. You start to do something and, you change your routines, you change your thinking, and you change and you change and you start to eat a little bit differently and you start to do this a bit differently, or you start to talk a little, you start to find out that the power of life and death is in your tongue. So you start to change what you say. I'm no longer going to say, I'm scared to death, I'm sick to death, oh, flipping heck, that just nearly killed me. No, we cut all that stuff out. But does that mean to say that overnight everything breaks through? No, but change starts. Change starts. Change starts. You don't watch that program anymore that's just about lust and Love Island and whatever else. We don't watch that anymore. Seriously, we don't watch that anymore because you're just feeding your brain with the spirit of the world and ha, 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 isn't it funny? No, it'll kill you. It'll kill your marriage, kill your relationship, and your kids will grow up thinking that's normal. And then you'll be praying for their salvation when they're so off and they got babies everywhere. And so many broken relationships. Hello. You see, we need to start where we're at, but change is gradual. Change is gradual. The breakthrough doesn't happen overnight if you don't start making the changes a long time before. Oh, but I thought just breakthrough just happened. I thought the suddenlies just happened. I just thought God just does whatever he wants to do. No, he's already got foreknowledge. He can see that you're prepared and that you're prayed up and that you're believed up and that you're forgiven up and you're faithed up and you're hoped up and you got your tent pegs in and you've stretched out. So now God can do the suddenly. God can do the suddenly in life, and God is the God of the suddenlies. When you've labored for a long time and then God breaks through. When you've been restrained. You know, the Bible says those who don't have a dream or a vision or a goal are without restraint. But when you have a vision, it restrains your life. Not restricts, restrains. No, I'm not going to do that because I've got a marathon to run. See, you know, people who just do whatever they want, they got no vision. They got nothing to live for. They haven't got a marriage to build. They haven't got kids they're raising up. But when you got a vision, it brings restraint to your life. And that means you go step by step when you've been standing and having done all to stand. But then you sort of come to a season. And I want to prophesy and say, we are in this season. We are here in Jesus' name. Intensity starts happening. Something starts stirring. A part of that is the enemy getting scared. A part of that is I need to kill them now before the walls come down. but an intensity starts, and suddenly breakthrough is here. Suddenly the telephone call comes in. Suddenly the debt is cleared. But so many people want their debts cleared without starting to make the changes in life. But if you start to make the changes in life, then suddenly God can break through into your life, and suddenly God can wipe out, and suddenly God can cause that divine relationship to come in. Suddenly the conception happens in the womb. Suddenly you meet the right person. Suddenly your kids turn around. Suddenly the doors of favor open. Suddenly the mountains move. Suddenly you get the answer you've been believing for. Suddenly the harvest comes in. Suddenly the net is filled. Hallelujah. Suddenly the oil starts overflowing. In Jesus' name, we are in our season of suddenly, in Jesus' mighty name. We are in it now. Let's stand to our feet if we could, please. Look at someone, say, ready? For the suddenly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you said enlarge, lengthen, strengthen, stretch out. Lord, you are the God. Your arm is not too short. You never slumber, you never sleep. Nothing takes you by surprise. But you're a God, you're also the God who leads us forward into what you know is coming. And Father, right now, for each one of us here and online, we thank you, Lord God, for this incredible season that we are in. We align our personal lives with the season. It's not just a church thing. This is a kingdom thing. Suddenlies. Lord, you're doing the suddenlies all over the place. Father, we believe it and we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can we give a shout of praise in the house today? Hallelujah. Yes, God. Amen. You know, one of the most amazing suddenlies is the suddenly of salvation. The suddenly of salvation. I can think back to when I was 18 years old and all hell was breaking out in my life. Addiction to drugs and a lifestyle that was murderous, really. Not talking about people, but just, God. And that time of intensity came. And that last 6 months before I gave my life to Christ was just a nightmare. I thought it was awesome. But I can look back today and I can think, if I hadn't given my life to Christ, I know I can say this, I would not be here today. And I don't mean in the church, I mean alive on the planet. Just after I gave my life to Christ, a good friend of mine, he died. Doing the same stuff I was doing. Thank God I gave him the gospel and I hope the seed went in. Just got to believe God sometimes. But today there are some suddenlies in this room. There are some suddenlies. Oh, I've been thinking about this and I've been wandering around and I just don't know. Is it Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam? Is it Jesus? Is it humanism? Is it the occult? Is it New Age? Whatever. Can I just settle it once and for all? Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Jesus said, I'm the only way into eternal life. There is no nirvana. There is no purgatory. There is no inner this and inner that and reaching out to. No, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And everybody is going to be spending eternity in one or the other. And today, if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you will spend eternity with Almighty God, in the presence of Almighty God. Somebody else I know this week has passed away. The son of a pastor friend of mine. this time last Saturday, he had an accident. He was the life and soul of every party. He was the wild one of the family, a believer. But just the wild one of the family. Not married, no kids. Probably early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. Had an accident on his bike. He had catastrophic brain injury. And he died a couple of days later. We know where he is. We know where he is. He's in the presence of Almighty God. No pain. There's a great verse in the Bible, death, where is your sting? Now, we want to live the abundant life here on earth. But friend, do you know where you're going? Do you know that you're going to spend eternity with Almighty God? Do you know? Is this your suddenly moment in City Gate Church here this morning? Perhaps you've been brought by a friend. Perhaps you're online. People getting saved online. People getting saved in each of our services here on a Sunday. Friend, do not leave this room today unless you know that Jesus is your Lord. He's your Savior. You believe in your heart and you've declared with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, because at that very moment, the Bible says you step over from darkness into light, from being lost for eternity to being found for eternity. You come into a place where you can say, Almighty God is my Heavenly Father, that Jesus is my healer, Jesus is my Redeemer, Jesus is my Prince of Peace. Friend, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? With every eye closed in this room, please, and online, if you're engaged online right now, I'm going to appeal to you. I really sense today there's somebody in the balance, someone's life in the balance online. I don't know who you are, but God wants to save your life today. And it takes a humility in your heart and a turning to Almighty God and say, Jesus, will you come into my life? Make me a brand new person. I want to be born again. I want to turn away from the way I've lived and receive Jesus as Lord. It may have been a long journey for you, my friend, but today is your suddenly moment. If you're here in this room as well, perhaps you've been, you know, around Christianity for a long time. Come on, let's make the decision this morning. The Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you are here today and say, yeah, Pastor Jay, I know I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or you know you need to come back to God today because you know you say you're a Christian, but you're not really living like one. It's time to come back to God. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if that's you here today in either of those situations, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold and confident, and it's a decision of your eternity, and that is to lift your hand in this auditorium right now, please. Wonderful. God bless you. Wonderful. God bless you. Come on, church, let's celebrate. Is there anybody else here today? Come on, let's celebrate. People are coming to Christ. This is wonderful. Is there anybody else here today? Last time as I look across online, friend, I hope you're responding right now in your heart. I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer. It's a prayer we pray all the time in City Gate Church. Let's say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. You demonstrated your love by sending your son Jesus to die on the cross to give me life. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. I turn away from the way I've lived apart from you. I know I need a Savior, and I receive you today. And by the help of your grace and your power, I will never be the same again. I receive eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a shout of praise today, shall we? Yes, God. Hallelujah.